Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 67. Tonight we continue in our series through the Psalms. It's interesting that Psalm 66 and 67 don't attribute a particular person as the author of these two Psalms, but it's in a section of Psalms that we've noted have been written by David, attributed to David. And so I think it is likely that David is the writer of these two Psalms, although we don't know that for sure. But nevertheless, this is another Psalm of praise. 65, 66, 67, all are Psalms of praise. And we'll talk more about the vision of Psalm 67 in just a moment. But please give attention as I read from God's holy word from Psalm 67. God be gracious to us and bless us and cause His face to shine upon us, Selah. That Your way may be known on the earth, Your salvation among all nations. Let the peoples praise You, O God. Let all the peoples praise You. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for You will judge the peoples with uprightness and guide the nations on the earth. Selah. Let the peoples praise You, O God. Let all the peoples praise You. Let the earth has yielded its produce. God, our God, blesses us. God blesses us, that all the ends of the earth may fear Him. Amen. May God add His blessing to the reading of His holy word. Well, do you think that the Old Testament saints had a vision for evangelism? We don't often think in terms of God's Old Testament people having a vision for worldwide evangelism. And yet the psalmist here gives us a clear evidence of this vision and commitment in Psalm 67. It's a psalm which not only recognizes God as the sovereign Lord of creation, the one who rules over all things, preserving and governing all His creatures and all their actions, but it's also a psalm that expresses the specific desire for those outside Israel to come to know God as their Redeemer. And that hope is being realized now after redemption has been accomplished by Jesus Christ and as the gospel is going forth to the nations of the world. But what we see in Psalm 67 is that God's glory will be magnified when peoples from all nations are brought to exalt Him through Jesus Christ. God's glory will be increased when people from all nations will be brought to exalt Him through Jesus Christ. But Psalm 67 is really rooted then in God's covenant promise to Abraham. It's rooted in God's old covenant promise to Abraham. He told Abraham, or Abram at that time in Genesis 12:3, when He called him, "In you all the nations of the earth will be blessed." So this is an Old Testament concept that is unfolded in God's new covenant era with the coming of Christ and the advancement of His church. But we see that same promise is repeated. It's repeated to Abraham later when he was willing to offer up his son Isaac, whom God, by the way, provided a substitute for in the ram caught in the thicket. It was repeated again to Isaac, Abraham's son. It was repeated again to Jacob, Isaac's son. And then we also see that this same promise is repeated in the New Testament era. Peter actually refers to it in his second sermon in Acts chapter 3. This reference to the nations of the world being blessed through Abraham and his seed. And then Paul, the apostle as well, in Galatians chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, speaks about how God's plan encompasses both Jews and Gentiles. We read in these verses, "The Scriptures foresaw," that's a reference back to the Old Testament, "The Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So then those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham, the believer. So we see that God's plan is rooted in the Old Covenant, and it unfolds in the New Covenant, and it is reminded, God's people are reminded of it through the apostles. Of course, Jesus himself communicates this same idea, doesn't he? In his commission to the apostles in Acts chapter 8, verse 1, verse 8. He says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, even to the remotest part of the earth." That was the commission that he gave to the apostles. And it's rooted in his covenant of grace, which was established with Abraham back in Genesis 12. Well, Psalm 67 then is reflecting this plan of God in the covenant of grace for the good news of his salvation to go forth to the peoples of the world. And this psalm is a prayer for that to happen as a result of God's blessing upon his people. Now, often when we pray for blessing, it's more of a self-centered petition, is it not? We want God to bless us because we need help in some specific area. But this psalm is a prayer for God's blessing in order that He may be glorified. God is being beseeched that He would pour out blessing on His people, not for a self-centered purpose, but that God would be praised and glorified. Well, as we look at this psalm and this prayer for blessing, we'll be considering it in three parts here tonight. First of all, in verses 1 and 2, we see this prayer for blessing from God is offered so that the nations will be saved. There's a prayer for blessing here so that the nations will be saved. Now, as we begin this study, we should take a moment to note an element in the structure of this psalm. You may notice that there's some phrases and actually some verses that are repeated in this psalm. Now, James Boyce points out a literary device that is being used here called an inclusio. And what that means is that the psalm begins and ends with the same words or phrases or thoughts being repeated. Now, we see that in verses 1 and 7 where God's blessing is requested so that He might be known and feared among the nations. But we also see it in the middle stanza of this psalm in verses 3 and 5, which repeat this prayer for the nations to praise God. Both of these inclusios that we see in the psalm highlight one central point, one central focus, and that is the exaltation of the name of the living God. That is the goal of this psalm, that God's name would be exalted, that He would be praised, that He would be glorified. And in fact, that ties right in with man's chief end, doesn't it? The Shorter Catechism begins with that very focus. Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. And so that's the goal in this psalm that is driving these requests. So the psalm begins with this prayer for blessing with that end in view, the glory of God. Really, this psalm, the opening verse is something that should be familiar to you because we use these words each week as I pronounce the benediction. It's really a restatement of the Aaronic benediction, which is found in Numbers chapter 6, verse 25. That's where God instructed the priests to pronounce this blessing upon His people. It's a prayer that God's favor would rest upon His people. Well, this should be our greatest desire as those redeemed by His grace, that we would know the favor of God, that we would see the shining face of God turned toward us. We don't want to see the scowling face of God, our Heavenly Father. We long for close fellowship with Him. We long for His face to shine upon us favorably. In other words, we want to please Him. We want to live our lives in a way that God is glorified and that His favor rests upon us. We long for Him to be pleased. as we walk in His ways. And we yearn for His blessing to be poured out upon His children. Furthermore, in this prayer for blessing is the recognition that God is the source of all blessings. Where does the psalmist turn? He turns to God. For God to pour out blessing upon His people. And that's restated as well in the book of James. James 1 verse 17 says, every good thing bestowed and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. Where do we go to find blessing? Where do we turn to seek goodness in life? It's the living God. He's the only source of everything that is good. And we should beseech Him for that and look to Him as our Creator and Provider for this. But even more so, there's the spiritual dimension. And that is the need for a right relationship with Him. God is the source of blessing and the source of saving grace. That undeserved favor that is the basis for the removal of His wrath against us, His just wrath against us, and for restored fellowship with Him as our Creator through Jesus Christ. But it's all of grace. It's unmerited favor as we look to Him as the source from whom all of these blessings flow. Well, that salvation purpose that is mentioned here is the reason behind this prayer. The psalmist prays, God, be gracious to us and bless us and cause His face to shine upon us, that Your way may be known on the earth, Your salvation among the nations. Well, this is, as we noted earlier, the vision for worldwide evangelism. The prophet Isaiah also anticipated this through the work of Jesus Christ, the suffering servant. But he says in Isaiah 52, verse 10, the Lord has bared His holy arm in the sight of all the nations, that all the ends of the earth may see the salvation of our God. That's a worldwide vision for the nations of the world to see God's salvation through the work of Jesus Christ. But what is God's way? The psalmist is praying that God would bless His people in such a way that God's way would be made known, would be known on the earth. What is the way of God? Well, God's way, of course, is found in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Remember what Jesus told the disciples in the upper room. He said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by Me. It's the way of life. It's the way to peace with God, with the living God. It's not the way of death. It's not the way of condemnation, but it's the way of escape from those just penalties due to our sin. And it comes through the ministry of reconciliation that Christ has provided through His own blood, through His death on the cross for sinners. Well, this prayer then is for the glorious salvation of God to be known by all men, which has been accomplished by Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Paul says in Titus 2:11, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. And that is the desire that's expressed here in this psalmist's prayer, that God's blessing would be poured out so that the way of life would be made known on the earth. But there's something that we should note here. Salvation is not the only focus of this prayer. That leads us to the second section, verses 3 to 5. This prayer for blessing is tied to the desire that the nations will worship God. Not only that the nations will be saved, but the nations will worship God. This is so important that the idea is expressed twice. Remember, we talked about the inclusio in the middle stanza. It's expressed in verse 3, it's expressed in verse 5. And it really brings to mind the question, what is really the primary task of the church? Is it evangelism? Well, actually not. The primary purpose of the church is not evangelism, but worship. And evangelism is really secondary to that primary purpose. It's really subordinate to that primary purpose of worshiping the living God. As we noted in verse 2, the reason that God's blessing is being sought is that so His salvation may be known among all the nations. But knowledge is not the end in view here. The knowledge of salvation by the nations. Verses 3 and 5 reveal that the primary reason for making known God's salvation is that the nations of the earth will come to praise the name of the living God. The psalmist is seeking the blessing of God upon His people so that all the ends of the earth may come to worship God, that they will bow down before Him and worship Him. And that is the reason for evangelism. It is to promote the ultimate purpose of the church, which is the worship of the living God. John Piper, in one of his books, writes, "Missions is not the ultimate goal of the church. Worship is. Missions exist because worship doesn't." And so through the gospel, we call people to be reconciled to God. Why? So that they will bow and worship to Him and serve Him, so that His name will be praised. Isn't that what we pray for in the first two petitions of the Lord's Prayer? The prayer begins, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come." Those are the first two petitions. Hallowed be Your name, Your kingdom come. And in those petitions, we're asking, first of all, that God's name would be honored, that He would be praised. And then we pray that His kingdom would be advanced. We're praying then not only that we will come to cherish and revere the name of God increasingly, but we are praying more and more that people throughout the world will worship His name as they are brought into His kingdom, as His kingdom is advanced throughout the world. Well, this is what the psalmist is yearning for here. Verse 3, "Let the peoples praise You, O God. Let all the peoples praise You." Not only is there a concern for the salvation of the lost, but ultimately that they will come to worship and give glory to the living God. That's why the fifth sola of the Reformation was expressed. Soli Deo Gloria. That all of God's work in salvation is ultimately for Him alone to receive the glory. That's the primary purpose of salvation, is that God would be glorified as His grace and mercy and justice and righteousness is revealed through His redemption of His people. Well, this vision for worship is further emphasized in verse 4. "For You shall judge the peoples with uprightness and guide the nations on the earth." What that is a reference to the sovereign rule of God. He rules with perfect fairness and equity, as well as shepherd-like concern over all the earth. And so the prayer and the expectation of the psalmist here is for the nations to submit to that rule of the living God and to worship and serve Him. And the hope is that this will come to pass as the nations witness God's favor being poured out upon His people. That His blessing would be poured out upon His people in such a way that the nations would be drawn to know the living God and to bow before Him. Well, this is not only in the form of God providing materially for His people, but it is as He transforms them spiritually by His Word and Spirit. This is the kind of blessing that is being sought for. Not only material blessings, as God provides for His people in the world to meet their temporal needs, but also spiritually. And how powerful the witness is when God blesses His church in such a way through the Holy Spirit that people are converted through the gospel. And that through the Spirit they are being sanctified in holy living as His redeemed people. When rebellious hearts are broken before God, when addictions are thrown aside and a new way of living is established, when broken marriages are restored, when deep wounds are healed, when Christians begin living holy lives, when greed is replaced by gracious generosity out of gratitude for the gift of eternal life. The world sees these things and takes notice. They see the blessing of God upon His people. And they are, in a sense, made jealous. And they desire to come to know this living God who redeems His people. And so this is the prayer that the people would be blessed in such a way that the nations would come to bow to the rule of the living God as they see the power of God evidenced in the lives of His people. God's Spirit, this was has been taking place since God's Spirit was poured out at Pentecost. This prayer has been fulfilled more and more than actually the Old Testament psalmist could have imagined as the gospel is going forth to the nations. Sadly, today there is a need for the Jews as well to repent, not just the Gentiles. And Paul laments that in Romans chapter 11, how there's been a partial hardening of the Jews. And now those through whom the Messiah has come need to bow to the Messiah. And we need to proclaim the gospel not only to unbelieving Jews, but also to Gentiles, so that the nations will praise the glorious name of the living God, and so that they will bow to His rule in the world. So the point is worship, not just salvation, but worship in this prayer for blessing. But then thirdly, and as we come to the conclusion of this psalm, we see in verses 6 and 7 that this prayer for blessing is depicted materially and spiritually in these final verses. As the psalmist concludes with this final petition, there is a final petition. And these verses are translated in the present tense in the New American Standard Bible. Maybe you noticed that. But as a future prayer expectation in the New International Version. Maybe some of your others have that as well. But that's because the Hebrew is in the imperfect tense here. And that can be translated either as a present tense or as a future prayer wish or expectation. The NIV has it as a future prayer wish, and so it's translated, may He do this, may God bless. But the NASB has it expressed as a present tense. But really, both cases express the hope of God's people as He works in their lives. He has done so in the past. He has blessed His people. And He is doing so today. He is supplying the needs of His people as His favor rests upon them. And He will do so in the future. That's what we pray. That He will, in the future, continue to shower His favor on the earth so that the material needs of His people will be met through abundant harvests, and also that spiritual blessings will flow to His people. This picture of an abundant harvest is actually a metaphor for a spiritual harvest. And it must have been on Jesus' mind when He told the disciples in John chapter 4. Remember, He was there speaking to the woman at the well, witnessing to her. And then she went off to the city to go and tell her of the Messiah. And she returned with a great crowd of people from the city. And this was Jesus' response. He said, "Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, that they are white for the harvest." He pictured the crowds as a great, plentiful, bountiful harvest of souls for the kingdom. And that is also behind these words here, not only the abundant physical harvest, but also of a great spiritual harvest as the gospel goes forth. This great harvest of souls, we must remember, is brought about through faith in Jesus Christ. And it comes about not all at once. Crowds don't just flock into the kingdom all at once, not normally. But it comes about as people bear witness to individuals one at a time. As we go one by one and minister the gospel to people around us, one by one. And it's through that patient and loving witness of God's people that God brings people to salvation and brings them into the kingdom. Sometimes it's a long and slow painstaking process. We may sow with tears. We may not actually reap at all, but someone else after us may come along and reap and see with joy that individual coming to saving faith in Christ. But we must persevere with this prayer and this vision before us, laboring step by step, ministering individual to individual as we seek the salvation of the lost and the advancement of God's kingdom. Well, may the Lord bless His people in this way, so that the world will take notice of the life-changing power of God through the gospel and of His gracious providence on behalf of His people. And may the nations come to bow in reverent worship before Him, sharing in the wonderful redemption blessings of redemption of God's people. As we close, let me just ask you this question. Does your heart burn for the spread of the gospel in the same way that the psalmist does here in Psalm 67? Well, think about this for a moment. What is the fuel for missions? The fuel for missions is a passion for the glory of God, a love for the living God, and a desire that His name be glorified and worshipped. And if we do not have that love for God, that passion for God, that desire for His name to be worshipped and praised in our own lives and in the world, then we won't have a passion for evangelism. I believe it was John Piper that made this comment as well. He said, "You won't commend what you don't cherish." If we don't cherish the living God, if we don't have a love for Him, a passion for His glory, then we won't commend Him to the world. And so we need to pray for God to stir up within us a desire that He would be worshipped and praised, even as this psalm is expressing. That's the foundation for this prayer in this psalm. Let us pray that God would bless us, that He would bless His people, so that His name would be known throughout the earth and His salvation by the nations. And let us pray not only that the nations will be saved, but that they will come to worship and glorify God. As John Stott puts it in his commentary, the greatest incentive in evangelism is not the need of human beings, but the glory of God. We cannot become content until every convert has become a worshiper. May that be our vision and prayer as well, that God will bless us and that all the ends of the earth will fear and worship Him. Let's bow in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we do praise Your name this evening. We worship You and bow down to You as the one living and true God, the Creator of heaven and earth, and also our Redeemer, the one who has condescended to rescue us from the pit of sin and to set our feet on the rock, our Lord Jesus Christ, and establish our way, the way of life in Him. We marvel at Your amazing grace and love extended to us to redeem us, to reconcile us as sinners to Yourself. And Father, we pray that You would instill in our hearts increasingly a passion for Your glory, a desire for Your worship and praise. And Father, with that, a desire that the lost would be brought to salvation, that they too would join in this praise of You, the living God. Lord, help us to be faithful to commend to the lost our glorious God, because we cherish You, because we love You with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind. Help us to cultivate that love through the means of grace. And Lord, as we grow in our love for You, may we also grow in our love for those who are lost in the world around us. Lord, bless us in the week ahead to that end. Lord, as we labor in our respective places of responsibility, may we be alert, have eyes that are open to the needs of those around us, and to be ready to give a defense for the hope that is within us with gentleness and respect, that Your name may be praised. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.